And this is a good day. This has been a warm day, warmer day than yesterday. Yesterday was a little bit cooler, and the day before was a little bit warmer. So we thank God for the warm weather. And we could wear, you could wear sandals pretty soon. Did you find Proverbs 4? Proverbs 4:20. I guess it's soccer day. I can see all the moms not here. And some of the dads, and thank God for soccer. You can be free today. Praise the Lord. Well, we're gonna look at Proverbs 4:20, and I wanna ask this question to you tonight, and maybe this will be your title. And this actual topic area we're teaching on is really about hearing from God. Learning to hear from God, learning to be led by God, and we want to, I heard a word in my spirit the other day, and it says, "Thus said the Lord," and I began to focus on that, and the Lord said, "This is what I want you to teach," and the title of the message is, "What is God saying?" Everybody say, "What is God saying?" Come on, let's all say it together. Say, what is God saying?
What is God saying?
So, Proverbs 4:20 says, my child, pay attention to what I say. How many people know that sometimes people don't pay attention? If you go and sit and eat with them, and they look like they're listening to you, but their mind is somewhere else. Or they're thinking about what they want to say next. And, one of the good skills I learned when I practice in counseling and social work and helping and is one of the, the skills they teach you is that it's called parroting or paraphrasing. And that is you learn to say what somebody else says as you're talking to them. So that person knows you're with them, they're hearing you. And so God's word says, pay attention. Pay attention to what I say. And the next line says, listen carefully to my words. Well, there's two things that God's saying, and that is pay attention. Listen carefully. Pay attention. Listen carefully, because when God's saying something like that, it really goes to show that there's some people, they'll hear you, but they're really not really listening. You could be in the same church with a bunch of people, and you can hear something on the same subject of healing. One is sick, the other one's not. They're both sick, but one person dies from the same illness the other person lives. And it's the same message. Now, did God predetermine that person should die before that one? Did he decide unfairly that, something that we don't know about, something mystical? And sometimes people think God is like that. He favors certain things, But God is talking to all of us in Proverbs 4:20. He says, my child, is talking to all of us. We're all children of God, And the Bible says over in the First John 3, it says that now we're the children of God. We are the children of God because we believe. He says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully. Not just listen, but listen carefully. Because sometimes you might misunderstand something. You might hear one thing, but then hear with your filters. You know what I'm talking about when I mean hear with your filters. Because sometimes people listen to something, they hear from their just background of their persuasion or education. They hear from your cultural understanding, you're hearing something. We need to hear with the eyes wide, our ears wide open. Amen? And sometimes we don't listen to each other. We don't listen to our husbands, our wives, and and maybe our children don't listen to us the way they should be. And I was just talking to my wife, you know, she's a teacher there at the college, and she says, you know, there's a couple of students there today, and they didn't like, because she confronted them, that they have to put away their phones. Because they're texting and all afternoon, and so she confronted them, and, you know, she doesn't like to be, disliked as a teacher. Nobody likes to be disliked as a teacher, and so they made her kind of feel intimidated. And so they wouldn't pay attention. So they looked all down all the way through the lesson. Didn't look at it one time. And after the break, they never came back. Well, I would have helped them out that door. If it was me, I would say, you know, you can't listen to that. You can't be doing that here. You know, either listen, put away, or you don't come to my class. That's what I do. If you don't like it, just leave. I'm not forcing you to stay here. Amen. So you have to be able, you know, we're in a society today that there's so much, disrespect, and you know, we don't disrespect each other. Sometimes we don't listen to each other. So next time you go and eat supper with somebody, tell them to put their phone away and listen to your words. Stop checking your accounts, your Twitter accounts, and your Facebook, and your Instagram, and all your messages. Praise God. And that's what God's saying. Put away that Twitter account. You're spending too much time on Twitter. Then you're spending too much time with me. So I propose this idea to you tonight. And that is, listen to this. One word from God can change your life. One word from God can change your life. That is, if you're listening. If you came to church today to listen, to hear what God's saying, then you're going to get something out of this. Amen? So I believe that, you know, you're here because it's Wednesday night, you know. I mean, somehow people decide to stay home or they're somewhere tonight. But I believe that you're here because you want to be here and hear what God has to say to you. And we were at the mayor's breakfast, a civic breakfast this morning, and heard a nice message there. We, 7 o'clock is kind of early dinner or a breakfast or a big supper. It's like a supper there. They had kind of a smorg of stuff. So, anyway, since it was free, I ate, and we was able to pay for that. But you know, one word can change you. You know, it can change it directly. It could mean life or death. It could mean hitting the jackpot or going broke. It could mean a good marriage or a bad marriage. It could mean a marriage or a separation. It could mean a good job or a bad job. It could mean sickness or health. So I believe there's things that God wants to talk to you about tonight that I believe you're here for a very reason for this matter. I want you all to say this. Say, the Bible is God speaking to me. Speaking. Now say this and put your hand on your heart. Say, the Bible is God speaking to me. And point to your neighbor and say, the Bible is God speaking to you. So we need to understand the Bible is God talking. And if we want to hear God talk, we need to go and visit him. Read his Bible. How many of you read your Bible every day? Amen. How many of you guys pray every day? How many of you guys never stop praying? You're praying all the time. You need to pray all the time. The Bible says pray always. And so the Bible is God talking to us. So one word can change your life. One word from God can change your life. And in early 1984, I was basically backslidden. Lost. And I was in a university. I wasn't really going to church. I wasn't really, you know, stealing cars and selling drugs or trying to kill people. But I wasn't really serving God. I wasn't, running after women. I wasn't letting anybody run after me. I was just out there, just not serving God. Not doing what God told me to do. And I was just there, and I walked into a church. They said, there's a church over there on Memorial Avenue. They said, there's a man there, a Rhema graduate from Rhema Bible Training Center, Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's from the Illinois area, and he's starting a church. So I said, you know, we're in school, and they said, let's go hear that man. Let's go hear what he has to say. So I was visiting different churches, which sometimes some people, they come and call me, and I'd go, and you know, nothing really touched me, because I really felt condemned already, because, you know, when you mess up in life, you feel condemned. You're lost. Maybe you feel condemned today. For whatever reason, maybe you feel impressed, or somebody gave an idea that they hate you, or God doesn't want you. Maybe you got that idea from somewhere, but it didn't come from God. And God loves you, and he wants to help you. And so I went to church, and the man was talking on a family. It was in the month of May. School was almost over. I was doing some few assignments there, and I walked in that church. There's music, nothing really special about that church. There's some songs, and there's a few kids running around, some moms and dads, and some people there. Handful of people, and something in that service, you know, the preacher said, Romans 11:29 says that God never changes his mind. That once God calls you, he'll never change his mind about it. And yet I had this controversy inside of me that God didn't want me. I messed up in my life. I should have known better. And I had, you know, really felt so down, so low. And that one word changed me to this very day. Romans 11:29 says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If you look in the Amplified, it says that God, once God calls you and he establishes you in something, calls you to something, he never changes his mind. And I want to tell you today that God has never changed his mind the day you're born, and he had a set a course for you years ago before you were even born. God had a plan for you. And I remember meeting, you know, when I had a couple of dates with my wife before we got married. We got married rather pretty fast. You know, some people, they go for 6 years before they get married. And my wife and I, we were together for 6 months, and we got married, and we're 31 years now. Praise God. Amen. And love each other. Hallelujah. Amen. That's when God sets something up for you. You know, unless the Lord builds a house, you know, unless God sets you up, you know, if God joins a man and woman together, you know, but some people joining themselves together, themselves. But if God does it, you know, praise God, amen. No condemnation. If, you know, somebody called my wife the other day from another country, talking to her, said, you know what, I just felt I made a mistake. I married this man, you know, and I don't feel, you know, well, God can change that. Hallelujah, amen. God can change you no matter what it is. So I sit with my wife, and she said to me, we were talking about things, you know, about the things of the Spirit, things of the Bible. We've gotten to talk about, you know, what God wants us to do, and I asked her if she knew what God wanted her to do, and so I guess I must have came across maybe arrogant, and I said, well, I know what God wants me to do. And I went on to explain what God wanted me to do. This very day today, what I'm doing is what I believe God wanted me to do back then. And there's so much that God wants me to do, but how many people know that you're hampered if you don't have the right staff, if you don't have the right money, and if you don't have the right people with you, you're hindered. And you need to have the right combination of things in your life so that you can be right where you should be. Not everybody's obeying God. And thank God, I'm going to obey God. I told the Lord, no matter who comes to this church, if there's 10 people here, 5 people, I'm going to preach like there's 10,000 people. And I'm not going to complain. I'm going to be glad every time. I'm going to be happy every time that I'm preaching. Praise God. Amen. I'm not going to be mad who's not here and who's missing, doesn't give money. I'm going to just be glad, praise God, because I'm going to have to give account to God, not you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm happy about it because I know what God called me. And so there's a number of things in my life that would have changed. I sat down with a pastor here yesterday, and he talked about, as he helped me in my early days in ministry, and the fact that he said, you went on, and I didn't. And said, I didn't follow God the way I should. I went to Bible school, I graduated, I felt I had the same things you had, and, I'm a little older than you, but I didn't follow God the way you did. You and your wife went ahead and followed God and did what I believe God wants you to do. I'm called all right, and God called me to ministry. But I left this town and I went back to where I was from. And you know what? I lost all my kids. Lost them all to the world. And not one of them serving God. And there's no conviction in that, but your kids are going to do what they want to do. They have to make up their own mind. But as long as you walk with God, God says, I'm going to bring them back in. If we keep our covenant with God, God's going to keep his covenant. And he says, your children is going to come. And you have to stand, though. You got to do what God told you to do. And you have to stand in faith, not just, idly sit back and just twiddle your thumbs and hope that something's going to work out. But one word can change your life. And so I told you that story because, it changed my life. It absolutely changed my life, and I'm happy for it. I feel I'm doing what God told me to do, and I feel like, I'm ready to whatever God wants me to do. And if he wants me to quit this church, to go do something else, quit the church, quit the ministry. And by the way, I was at that, that this morning's breakfast and met a whole bunch of people that some I didn't know, just knew about the program, and had a really good time just talking to folks, just having some fellowship. And I told the Lord when we started the ministry, I didn't want to be on television. I didn't want to do television. Because, I would go to bed, I'd think about it, and I think, man, I'm responsible. Where am I going to get all the partners and friends, and how am I going to, how are you going to run this thing? And I looked at that one camera. That one camera was like $25,000 for one camera. We had three cameras, and they're old cameras. And just one piece here cost $50,000. That one little piece over there was costing $50,000. Lights, they cost lots of money, and TV time, and editing, and it costs money to run television. And we're on television across Canada, and we're going to be celebrating 10 years. And we're going to have a celebration right here in this room. Hopefully we'll set up this room as a nice dinner time. We're gonna have a dinner in this room here. Some of my staff said, let's go have it over here. I said, no, we're going to have it right here. We've got everything here. We can just set up all the tables, and we're going to have it online on television. I said, we got the TV. We'll just tape it. We'll have everybody watch it across the nation and join us. Have special guests. And then we're going to play bingo. To make sure, So the Lord blessed me. So we have a video. There was a service in 1998, I believe it is, where the man of God, the prophet, the prophetic word came and spoke to me. I'm sitting there, and the man begins to speak exactly what's happening today. People walk up to me and say, hey, I saw you on television. I didn't know you on television. And I'm going to tell you something. This happens to me on a weekly basis, regularly. I had a young man come from another reserve here the other day. Said, I want to let you know I watch you on TV every day. I was talking to one of the mayors there today. He said, I watch you every Sunday. I got a call from the senator from Ottawa. Wow. And said to me, I watch you every Sunday. I want you to know I watch you every Sunday. But I want you to know that, you know, this thing is going across Canada. It's impacting lives. It's changing lives. It's just not little. You know, you might think something little of this, but I want to tell you, hey, God's doing something. And, you know, we can't consider, if God gives you something, you gotta be grateful for it. You got to say, thank God you gave me that. And if you don't get grateful, you're not going to go any further than what you got right now. You know that old car you got? Somebody would love to drive that old car.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And you're complaining about your wife. Somebody would want that wife. I'm serious. There's somebody out there wants what you got, and sometimes people just discard what God's given them. And I will say, God, I want to be grateful every day. Every day I get up, I want to thank you, Lord God, I have breath today. I want to thank you, I'm standing here today, that I don't have any pain in my body. I want to thank you that you healed me. I want to thank you that you saved me. You give me some significance. You know, psychology tells us everybody needs some significance. Everybody needs meaning in their lives. And you mean something to somebody. Somebody's watching you right now. Somebody's looking at you. They're looking at your life. And they're watching your life. And you're the only Bible that they might ever read up until that time. We're walking epistles. We're a witness of what God can do for someone. So I want to be grateful to what I have. And, he saved me. And I know my friend over here knows where I live. You know, I lived in this little old shack, this house, grew up in this house. You know, we didn't have any, very much. We had a two-bedroom house for 8-9 kids. And we were the running water and heating system. I didn't have a bed. Growing up, I didn't have any television until I was 17 years old. And, I walked everywhere. So thank God he changes lives. Hallelujah. Amen? And so one word can change your life. And we need to pay attention to our own ways. Pay attention to how you're listening. Maybe you're listening with a chip on your shoulder. Maybe you're listening from past hurts. Maybe you're listening to God from a religious perspective or from a secular imagination. But God is talking to you right now. God is speaking loud and clear. Some people are hearing God, some people are not. But God is talking to everybody right now. And the Bible says, Haggai 1:5 says in the NIV, Haggai 1:5, if you look at that, it says there that we need to consider what we're saying or what we're doing, how we're living. It says in here, Haggai 1:5, the New International Version, or the King James says, "Now therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts says, consider your ways." We need to consider our lives. It means something to actually evaluate your life and examine your heart and examine the way you think. Examine how you feel about church, about God, and everything else. And there's a lot of people that don't go to church. They don't believe in church. They don't think, you know, they believe that they can take it or leave it. That's not what the Bible says. You're not meant to live alone. Why did God give pastors? For people. So that God would lead the people. In the New Testament, God's given the ministry gifts. And the pastor is the only gift that has a ministry that's ministers to the people inside the confines of a assembly. We need to listen. The NIV says, give careful thought to your ways, NIV says. Give careful thought. That's what the same thing that it says in Proverbs 4:20. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. The New Living Translation says, look Look what's happening to you. What is going on inside you right now? What's making you mad? What's making you sad? Why are you getting mad? And you need to examine yourself, examine your feelings, and see what's going on in there. Maybe you need to adjust your thinking and maybe adjust your ways. Maybe you need to clean up your act. Maybe you need to start getting yourself in gear and start following with God. Quit being so rebellious and hard-hearted. And so sometimes we don't listen the way we should be. We're listening with all our filters so clogged up. So let me just give you a little bit more introduction. And many people are not paying attention according to the scriptures that we just read. Many people don't even know that they actually can hear from God. Many think that God will speak only to a few selected holy people, like maybe a highly respected religious leader or somebody like Billy Graham or some, you know, mighty minister that you admire, but not them. Many people think only God can hear, can speak through, like, you know, if you're a Catholic, maybe God only speaks to the Pope and he passes the message down to all the cardinals and the bishops and the priests and so on. That's not how it is. And Scripture reveals that God is speaking. Well, if he's speaking right now, how can we be sure that he's actually speaking? There's only one way to know, and that is from looking at your Bible, reading your Bible, and hearing what God says on a daily basis. And we need to hear from God, not just from reading the Bible, but also hearing from God by fellowshipping with his Holy Spirit. If we fellowship with His Holy Spirit, we're not going to be controversial, causing riffles and causing trouble wherever we go, because the Spirit of God is going to lead you in peace. He's going to lead you in the love walk. He's going to get you to do the things that are written in the Word, not something that's conflicting. There's some people say they hear from God and they do something, and you know they're doing something. They say, God told me this, and it's causing so much confusion and so forth, but God doesn't never cause confusion. You have a witness on inside of you. If God told you, if God says something, you can tell whether or not, hey, I have to, yeah, God's talking to you. You can tell. You have a witness on inside of you. Your spirit will can tell. So we can hear from God because he lives in you. Everybody, look to your neighbor and say, don't drift away. But, you know, you can drift away. You know, we were down in California. We went to different beaches with my kids because they like to go to these beaches, you know. I can't remember. They were called Hollister or some of these beaches over by, you know, and over in Los Angeles over there. We went to different ones and check out them and, I was only there because the kids like to go to these places, and you know, it's something that we did together. But so the kids, they, you know, we didn't know nothing about the sea, so they just jump on in the water, and there's a sign there that says, "Don't go over here because that tide can take you out." I saw that. I said, you know, we can't let our kids get in there. Come on out here, guys. Come on. I'm looking at the kids, because and all of a sudden they're going, they're way over there. Because that tide took them over on, you know, down there. How many people know that the things of this world can take you so far off that you don't even know? I know people that are close to me that I love very much that don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, they're really immersed in the things of the world and love God at once and were raised up in church, they don't no longer serve God. They're so far over there that they don't know how to get back to God. If you think you're that smart, you say, you know what, hey, I'm going to just sit a little here and do this, you're going to be drifting so far away. I know people now, they've gone so far off, they just can't come back and just join in and just be the way they were before. And it takes a long time to swim back, to the place where you used to be. We need to hear God. We can't drift away. And I believe I heard the Spirit of God say to my spirit, tell the people, what am I saying to them? I heard the Spirit said to my spirit, thus said the Lord. What is he saying? So Colossians 1:23, if you all turn to Colossians 1:23, please. I believe I got a word for you. Thank you, Jesus. It says in here, in the, let's see here, what we got here. Colossians 1:23 says this. But you must continue to believe the truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away. This is the NLT. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached to all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. You know, we hear the Word of God regularly. We should hear the Word of God regularly from God's appointed man or woman in your life. God sends you people. God sends you to a church. God sends you to a pastor. If you hear from me, if it resonates in your spirit, like, you know what, praise God, I Pastor Roman's speaking, you know, something that I'm enjoying, that God's talking to you. Something you might not even like it naturally, but there's something that you like it. You like it. Even if you didn't like it, you like it. You know what I'm talking about? You can get a spanking, but you just, oh, thank God, Pastor spanked me. He gave me the word, and I enjoy that, right? And that's the way it should be. You need that so that you don't drift so far away that you're drifting all alone. You say, well, I'm one of these Christians that like to be alone. Well, BS. Nobody wants to be alone. Nobody should be alone. You can't be alone. We're not meant to be alone. We need each other. God needs you. And he needs you to connect with somebody else. It's a controversy. Now, here's another scripture, Hebrews 2:1. It says here, we must listen carefully. Carefully. Not just listen. Listen carefully. You know, I went the other day, my wife told me, that, you know, hey, you should go over here. When you come by, can you stop over there, get this, go to the store and get this item for me? Well, so I went to the store, because it's just one item. I'm not going to write it down. It's one item. And I went there. I come out with a whole pile of stuff. And I forgot, when I got home, she says, well, where's the eggs? Oh, I forgot. Has anybody done the same thing? Huh? Yeah, sure. And so I had to drive back and got those eggs. I didn't just do that one time. I've done that a few times. I know some of you other people, you can relate to that, because, you know, the Bible says, listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. You don't want to drift away from the truth for your life. You know, God has a particular truth he wants to give you for this hour. Maybe it's a word tailor-made for you, but not for everybody else. What you hear here is not always for you. What you hear here sometimes is just for somebody else over there. You're saying, well, I heard this before. No, well, somebody beside you needs to hear it. Other people need to hear it. Besides, when you hear something again, God wants to water what you already heard. So when you hear the word for the first time, the scripture says, the word is being planted in your heart. When you hear it again and again, the word is being watered. That's the way the scripture reveals it to us. So what is God saying? What is God saying to you today? What is he saying in your heart right now? Not talking about your feelings. Your feelings has nothing to do with what God's saying to you. How many people understand this, that when God talks to you, it has nothing to do with how you feel? Because your feelings has to do with the soul part of you. And there's sometimes some Christians, they walk in by how they feel, not by what their spirit is saying. Your spirit and your soul are two separate areas of your development of your spirituality. Because your soul is not your spirit. And sometimes people have, you know, overdeveloped in the soul, in the flesh area more, that they can't hear God with their spirit. Or their flesh or their natural appetites overrule their spirit. And so they're running in this world being led by how they feel and all their appetites. You know, too extreme, you think about a drug addict, he's led completely by his flesh. People who smoke cigarettes and they're tied to that cigarette, they're led completely by their flesh. And once you get a hold of that, understanding about spirit, soul, and body, you could just walk away from the smoking, say, I'm quitting. I don't care what my body says to do it or not. I'm done with it. And you just take over, let your spirit take over. And then there's a time in my life where I decide I'm never going to swear anymore. I'm not going to use cuss words, swear words. I'm not going to berate people. If someone fights me verbally, I'm not going to fight back. It took me a lot to get away from that, because before I was just, you know, I would just go ahead and just fight back verbally and say all kinds of stuff and fight too. And just, you know, I don't care who you are. I would just go right and go ballistic like crazy. But that's foolishness. You lose a lot of friends. Wonder why people don't trust you. And so, what did he say the last time you heard from God? What did he say, and did you obey what he said? Some people get lost in life, and sometimes they have to go back to the last thing God told them before they can actually get progress in their spirituality. Because some people don't care. They just stay at a certain point in their life, and all they want to do is what they want to do. They never ask God, God, do you want some of this money I have? Do you want me to give some of this money to somebody? What do you want me to do with my time? You know, so we pray. So Tuesday, we come here, we pray. Well, I don't necessarily want to come pray too. I want to do other things, but I do it because I believe that God wants me to do it. But I do feel good after it. Sometimes I feel tired, but I do it. When he does speak to you, how do you know he's talking to you? And how does he speak to you? How does he speak to you? Does he say something through somebody else, through different ways? At times, you know, God can give you messages through other people, but he'll like, first of all, to talk to your spirit. If he doesn't, he'll send you somebody. Amen? Amen. He'll send you somebody, or he'll send you somewhere, and you'll meet somebody. They'll speak to you. So generally speaking, God will speak by two methods. Number one, he speaks by his written word. Where we understand this, we get the general will of God. The written word is given to us for us to govern our lives by it. The written word is given so that we can govern our lives by the word. We can use that scripture or the scriptures we read. And when we're making decisions, we always consider first, what does the Bible say about this? The more Bible you know, the better decisions you make. And the more grace you experience. When you know more the word, the more grace you have and the less of your decisions are made. And so, as you read it daily, you'll find the will of God. And you see that in the book of Acts where the Bible says in the 17th chapter where the Bereans, you know, they were more better than that scripture says that they studied the word daily to understand what God's saying. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we're going to have faith to walk with God, and God wants us to walk by faith, we're going to have to get the Word of God in us. You know, if you eat the Word of God like some of you eat at supper, I mean, let's do it this way. You know, I'm going to talk about Pastor Kent. He's not here. And sometimes, you know, he eats faster than me. So even there's other people who eat slower than me. And they don't you bug you? They just eat like this. You know? And you know that they eat lots. But Pastor Ken, I turn away, his food is gone. And sometimes we need, when we're reading the Word of God, that's what we do. We just, read the scripture right away. Read it. And then we close it up. I'm done. We don't think about what we're reading. We don't consider how that's being applied to our lives. We just read 2-3 scriptures and run out the door and expect to be victorious. We need to take our time, like some of our friends, and they cut it, you know, cut that steak and eat it and chew it. Enjoy it. And the Word of God, we need to take time with the Word of God. And number two, generally speaking, God speaks this other method, and that is through His Holy Spirit. And His Holy Spirit, He lives in your spirit. He lives inside of you, and He'll talk to you within your heart. And your conscience, everybody say, my conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your newly born-again spirit. Your recreated spirit has a voice. It's called a conscience. And you, when your conscience is being violated by your decisions, it begins to convict you. Not the Holy Spirit. Your own spirit will convict you. That's wrong. And sometimes we say no to that. And the more we say no to it, the easier it becomes to do what you're not supposed to do the next time. You know, God's talking. And sometimes we disobey God by we know what we're supposed to do, and yet we don't do it. We just leave it out. We don't do what God says to do. That's, you know, we don't think of it as bad as the other way of doing things, and that is, once we know God's word, we don't practice it, and we just go ahead and violate it. I know it's not good for me to read this magazine over here and watch this program and talk like this. And I know it's wrong. I know it says in the scripture, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just going to just enjoy myself here a little bit, my flesh. And that's violating God's word. But we never really consider this other method. That is, we know something about God told you something, and you just don't do it. You don't follow what God says. You know, hey, I want you to pray over here. I want you to go and see this guy over here and visit this and do that and feed this person or do whatever. And God says, you know, hey, give $10 to that ministry over there. You say, oh, I don't want to do that. That's just as bad. But we don't do that in church because we've never been taught. The Lord says, be careful. Listen carefully to my sayings. Whether God tells you by His written word or by His Spirit is still disobedience. So, Romans 9:1 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. So your conscience will speak to you. The Holy Ghost will talk to you by through your conscience that you're doing the right thing or not doing the right thing. So we need to be a very solid person and pay attention, or we don't get decimated by life itself. We need to be a solid person and not drift away from the things of God. The Bible says in Matthew 7:24-25, he said, whosoever heareth these sayings, Everybody say sayings. Jesus said, those whoever hears these sayings of mine, does them, I will liken to him a wise man. He said, I'm going to compare this guy to somebody that is really wise. He builds his house upon a sand. He's like a man building his house upon a rock, solid rock. Everybody says solid. Say, I'm a solid person. See, this is where, Sterling gets that from. He'll always say, solid chum. Solid chum. He says that. Because this is what he's talking about here. That's what I think. You're a solid person because if you start practicing the word, you're a solid. You'll never fall through. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I told people like this the other day. I can tell you right away who's not going to make it in life, who's really going to fall away because they don't practice the word. I'm going to tell you, tell people right now, look around your neighbors, friends. If they're not practicing the word, they're supposed to know the word. If they don't practice the word, that's going to take them down because the wind of life is going to come, the rain is going to come, the weather is going to be bad, and that side of life, they're going to drift away. They get offended. They get hurt. And I told people last Sunday, I said, you know what? To serve God's people, come to church. People say, well, I know how to help. I know how to grab that. No, you don't. You don't know how to help yet. Sometimes people will help people the way they think they need help. Serving God's people, helping people, it takes some time to listen to people. Because sometimes my wife does, she told me this, sometimes I'll go behind her back and I'll just rub her back really hard. She said, no, that's hard. Don't do that. I said, well, I like it when you do it to me. She said, I'm not you. Do it the way I like it. Right? And when she does it to me, she just goes, I said, you don't even touch the skin. Come on. Touch it. Push harder. I said, the reason why I push harder on you is because the Bible says, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Amen. And so it hasn't happened yet, so I'm believing that it's going to happen. But it says in 24:27, everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened to a foolish man. See, this is sometimes people become foolish because they don't do what the word says. They don't follow what the Spirit says. They don't follow what they read in the Bible, nor don't they follow their conscience. They don't follow what they read. They don't follow what their conscience says. Conscience says, go and help Pastor Roma. I said, no, he's got lots of helpers. Give Pastor Roma $50. He needs it for television. No, he. Like, people think we got lots of money or something. We always believe for whatever comes in. Right? So the Bible says, great shall be the fall of that person. So don't drift away. Jesus is speaking now. He's talking to you. He wants to lead you. Here's to give you some couple of scriptures here before we close here in a few minutes here. John the Apostle wrote, and he was led by the Spirit of God, and this is what he said. John chapter 10, verse 1. Look at this. He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice. They come to him, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. See, God wants to lead you out of a bad situation into a good place, into a good situation. Sometimes people are having a bad situation, and there's something bad seems to be happening, and they can't let go even of the bad. I work with abused people, in my career. And sometimes abused people, they still want to live with the abuser. They don't want to leave the abuser because, I don't have to explain about that, but they go back to the same thing again. So he leads them by name. He leads them out. He gathers his own flock. He walks ahead of them. Never go before God leading you. Make sure God's leading you. Don't go before God. Don't go before God and say, God, bless my plan. And go over here and say, God, bless my plan. He doesn't have to bless your plan. He can only bless what's according to his word. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we doing what God says to do? Like, we can do all kinds of stuff. We can get all kinds of ideas thinking that God's in it. Because God's not in everything that we do. We think we like to, we say, well, you know, hey, you know, I hear from God. So he gathers his flock. He leads them ahead of them. They follow him because they know his voice. In the voice of a stranger, they will not run after him because they don't know his voice. We should know the voice between the voice of the world or the devil and the voice of God when he's leading you. Here's Psalm 85, verse 8. King James Version says this. Psalm 85, verse 8. He says, the psalmist says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people. So God, you know, when he speaks to you, there's always an element of peace in the plan of God. I was there at supper tonight. I told my daughter, I said, you know, honey, I said, you know, when God talks to you, it's never confusing. There's no fear in God's voice. There's no intimidation in God's voice. There's no controversy in God's voice. God leads you. There's peace in it. There's no argument about it. You just sense God's voice. When God spoke to me back over there in 1984, he says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I knew exactly, you know, God's talking to me. Nobody else but God was talking to me. I just felt God was talking to me. He's calling me home. I always felt that God, the church rejected me because I was out. And then I said, you know, when God called me to be a pastor, I said, how could anybody want me to lead them as a pastor? I could never be a pastor. Look at my life. I'm looking at my life because everybody else told me look at my life. But God said, look at me. I'm leading you. And if God didn't give me those experiences, I would have never went to the ministry because I would have been arguing with myself. Speaking what everybody said about me. And don't you get caught up in what everybody else is saying about you. Find out what God says about your life and move on. Forget about everybody else. Follow God. Thus said the Lord. That's what he's saying to you today. No matter how bad it's been. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear the word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left hand. No matter where you go, make sure the voice of God is behind it. When I was worshiping God in 1989, I'm worshiping God. I was in my office. My wife was in her kitchen, and I said, call me when supper's ready. So I'm worshiping God. No, it was dinner time, lunchtime. I'm talking to God about different things, and I'm thinking about what the next word is going to come to me. The Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, just like this over here, the word of God, look at the scripture over here, look at it. It says, and your ear shall hear a word behind thee. I'm worshiping God. I'm talking to the Lord about something else, and all of a sudden I hear the voice of the Lord saying to me, you need to go to Rhema. And I just kept worshiping God and talking. I thought, this is me just thinking about this. And I heard the second voice said to me, you need to go to Rhema. And I just kept on. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for them in ministry. I'm praying for that and that. And I heard a third voice coming, saying to me, you need to go to Rhema and you need to go right now. Just like that. I knew God was talking to me. And I went to my wife and said, God, I said, honey, And you under, my wife's right here, she can tell you. I said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, we need to go to Rhema. And she said, what, right now? You ever see the Beverly Hillbillies? Get up here. You know, when Granny jumps around like this, and she runs around like this, well, that's what we were like. If you could picture Granny and Jed Clampett, and he's coming out to tell him he's got that, you know, he got the Texas tea, right? And she's running around following me. And so we made a decision to follow God, to go to Rhema, to go to Bible school. I talked to all my pastor friends, and they said no. They said no. They said no. That school is just highly rated for nothing. Don't go there. And I'm glad I didn't go to those Bible schools that I was going to go to. I was going down east. One of them is shut down now. And I'm ready to go. And so we went. We had no money. And I asked people, they said, don't go, don't do it. I'm glad I went. And the Lord said to me, when you go, this is what's going to happen. I want to let you know right now what's going to happen. Because the 16th chapter of John, the Bible says that the Lord will lead you and tell you the truth about everything in your life. And he's going to tell you, even if there's bad things ahead, he's going to show you what's going to happen. He showed me what's going to happen about the church split. The Lord showed me before it happened. He said, he told me what's going to happen. And we went. And when it happened, I couldn't believe it. My emotions, my soul could not believe it. Why could people turn away from me? I was working with them. I helped them. I was their pastor. Why are they turning away from me? I said, I'm never going back again. I told my wife, I'm not going back. They don't deserve me. How many of you said that? They don't deserve me. But it had nothing to do with them. It had to do with what thus said the Lord. My wife wept every day in Bible school. Hurt because of what happened, and we were deeply hurt by people. But that didn't stop us from going to church. That didn't stop us from working with people and having relationship with people again. Come on now. Because some people stay away from church because somebody hurt them. Oh, I don't want to ever get married again because look at me, I was hurt. No, listen, you can get over these things. Follow what thus said the Lord. What did he say to do? And God is talking to people right now. He is talking to you right now not to use those excuses anymore. What did he tell you the last time to do? Follow it. Now, Isaiah 55:12. For you shall go out with joy. If there's no joy in what you're doing, I'm talking about not happiness, I said joy. There's a difference between being happy and joy. And that's why, you know, when I come here, you know, I'm not controversial. I hope not, I'm not. That I'm here, God called me here. And you know, I would love to have this place so packed out. Our parking lot should be packed out, because I'm an awesome pastor. Amen. I'm an awesome preacher. I think we should, you should think the best of yourself. If you don't think the best of yourself, who's going to do it? When I was thinking the worst of myself, it didn't do me any good. Oh, you know, look at poor old me. No, God wants you to think the best of yourself. And I began to see myself in God. I see myself as a mighty man of God. I saw myself strong in the Lord. I don't see myself going down. I see myself strong in God and not quitting. The pastor that we sat down yesterday said, you know what, you never quit. I tell people in this church every day, I said, you know, for the last 25 years, and you leave for 2 years or 5 years, you come back, and you still see me sitting here, I'm the most stable thing you ever saw in your whole life. Consistent. My bookkeeper told me, you know, Pastor, Gene DeGagne tells me, Pastor, you know, you're very consistent person. for people like she knew me. She said, I know you're very consistent. I've never seen anybody consistent like you. Now I added a few adjectives. But that's what she said to me. My friends tell me, you know, Roma, you're like this emotionally. You're never like this, and you're never like that. You're not so high. I'm out of this world. Life is wonderful. I'm never down. Poor me. Pray for me. No, I'm just consistent. Like, you know, praise God. God's good. No matter if I'm feeling bad, if I feel sick, God is still good. He's always good. And we need to get to the place where we know what God is saying to us. If you feel a little low, it didn't mean God left you. If you got sick, doesn't mean you're going to die. Even if the doctor said something, you got to fight to live. If you don't fight to live, you're not going to live. You ask anybody who has escaped cancer, dying of cancer, they had to fight back. They said, I'm not going to die. I will live and not die. And I'm going to declare the works of the Lord. I want to tell everybody that the devil couldn't do it. I want to tell everybody how God good is, how good he is, how wonderful he is, how his promises are true. Thus said the Lord. What is he saying to you? Is he saying, oh, you might as well throw in the towel, quit, you know. Nobody likes you. Who cares for you? Who loves you? Who loves you, baby? You remember that guy in the 70s?
Well, the devil made me do it.
You remember that guy too? You shall be led forward with joy and be led forward with peace. Look at this. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you with singing, and the trees of the fields shall clap their hands. That's exactly how you feel. Woo-hoo-hoo! When you're walking with God. Woo-hoo-hoo! Eh? You know, when I got born again, I said, wow, everything's wonderful. Everything's wonderful. Woo-hoo-hoo! And everybody got scared of me. I'd be scared of myself, too, if I was that high all the time. I was talking to a lady yesterday. She come here Sunday morning. She said, you know, Roma, I'm working now in the school system. You know, when I got saved, I came to your church. I think, you know, when you were living, when you're over there, you had a church. And she said, you know, there was an altar call, and you came up, and you were praying for me, and I laid hands on your stomach, she says to me. I don't remember that. I think maybe vaguely. She says, I don't know why I laid hands on your stomach, and you're praying for me. Sometimes I wonder about things like that. But anyway, she said, you know, I got born again. Like, I went like crazy. I went so crazy that my husband wanted to leave me because I was so nuts. I want to give everything away. I want to serve God, go to missions, and do everything for God. But it's because you're a baby. You don't know how to make decisions anymore. You need somebody to help you. You need your big brothers and sisters in the church to help you and to calm you down a little bit when you need to calm down and help you get on your right place. You need a pastor like a father to figure to help you in the things of God. You know, I wish I had a pastor like that when we were growing up. I wanted a pastor. When Pastor Kevin, when he left, I told him, Pastor, you know what? Well, my wife and I cried when you left. You went back to Illinois, man. We cried, and we wanted you to stay. We wanted you to stay, and you gave us a church. And the church fell away because they told us that they sent her to close her down. And we got blamed for taking dismantling the church. But we said, we're going to start a new church. We're not quitting because God called us. And so, because we have to understand that there's peace in it. If there's no peace, get away from it. Get as far away as you can. I got more to say to you. I got more to say that there's so much inside of me I want to say to you. I want to scream it out. I want to tell it. You know, I just feel, you know, that I'm here. The Lord said to me, I don't know if when we come back to Rhema, come back from Rhema, the Lord said to me, I'm going to give you a 20 to 30 year plan. So we're 18 years now. We're 18 years we've been here. So count how long it's going to be for 30 years. So sorry, Pastor, any other pastors, I'm going to be here for not a long time yet. I'm not going to quit yet. But you know what? You know, things might change. We don't know, but I'm going to be around. I'm not quitting. I'm not planning on going anywhere. And there's so many things I've got to quit. I don't quit because there's no money in it. There was no money in it when we came into church, and there's still not a whole lot of money in it. But we're here. We became missionaries in our own city. We have to work. I have to work outside of church to keep this job, to continue to work, to help my children, whatever they had to do for their schooling, to do whatever they have to do. So that's what we did. So it's been a nice knowing you guys. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up and thank God. Yeah. Thus says the Lord. Amen. What is he saying? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Strike up a tune, Esther. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands with glee. Thank God that you're alive, that you can hear his voice. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you. Oh, the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Make all the people glad. Magnify him. Sing joyfully unto him. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, God. You're so good to us. You've given us new life. You've given us healing and health. You've led us with joy and peace. You give us all the things we need. Thank you for my family here. Thank you for my Christian family, my brother and sister. Oh, we might not always understand each other. We might not always agree together, but we love each other. Oh, we thank you that we walk together. We're doing it together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Thank you for your word endures forever, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Maybe you're here tonight. You need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You're born again. You're saved. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit one time, but you're not as filled as you used to be. Maybe you're not walking where you're supposed to be walking. God wants you to come to him and to walk with him. 100%. You can go to bed tonight and say, thank God, it's a brand new start. You can have as many starts as you want to. You don't have to have two starts. There's no three strikes with God. There's always an open door with him.